On Your Bike, the podcast special continues. Actually, it's probably volume two now by the time we actually reach through this, and I've made my way to the neighbours of the James Cook University Hospital, of course, something that's very important because the sports village was established here. And of course, the host of the fabulous On Your Bike podcast is, of course, the legend that is Tony McDonough. Tony, here we are.
Here we are indeed. It's quite blustery.
Is there such a thing as perfect weather conditions for cycling? I mean, presumably you don't want it to be torrential rain.
I would say no wind, anything but wind, and the wind
we've got lots of wind.
Yeah, we've got plenty of that, so I don't think we'll be seeing any long breaks today, I don't think.
Okay, so we're looking at the cyclists coming around the track. Just describe what we've actually got here in terms of the actual track size itself. What are the guys actually doing?
We're at Middlesbrough Cycle Circuit, which is a 1K circuit, pretty well flattish, as good as it gets. We've got four guys in what's classed as a Category 4 entry-level race, which is Jack, John, Chris and Brian. A couple of guys both making their debuts.
We were talking about, obviously, how the thing's scored and how things are actually developed. Do we have various judges with stopwatches and various other things, or is it much more sophisticated than that?
There is, on the finish line, there is a sort of camera that sort of does a side-on view of the finish and sort of a bit like a sort of photo finish in a horse race. But yeah, the points are awarded from from first down to 10th, and then that counts towards a rider's British cycling points over a season.
Now, it's often said that obviously once the sports people are actually on the track, turf, whatever we're actually using as a competing surface, that's really when the role of the coach effectively is only left up to prayer and a few other bits and pieces. Is there any way you can actually influence the riders, or literally has all the coaching gone into the system now, so basically they know what they've got to do and they've just got to get on with it?
Yeah, they pretty much know what they've got to do, but it's very much a... Cycling's a sort of funny sport. You've got each individual rider, as they set off on the ride, they might be feeling great tonight, they might not be. You can sort of give them ideas over time gaps and things like that, or a bit of advice, but I'm used to a few sort of filthy looks back my way as I offer the advice.
So as the team are coming around now, just sort of talk us through who's actually in the lead, who's actually going the business and who's looking good.
The current lead guy is Jack from our team, and he's sort of followed by
Team Manila, of course, in case you're wondering.
Sorry, yes, keep forgetting. And he's sort of followed by a pack, and Jack, who I think is going to be quite a strong rider, he's making his debut tonight, so far so good for him on his debut.
In terms of standards as a cycling track, I mean, you don't actually have any problems with respect to oncoming traffic, and pedestrians should hopefully actually know to keep off the actual trackways. Does this actually do the business as a quality training centre?
Oh yeah, we're really lucky to have this on its doorstep. It's only about, I think, less than 2 years old, but as a training centre, it's perfect, because cycling's a lot about if you can find a road surface where you're uninterrupted. Obviously, that's pretty impossible on a road because of junctions and traffic and things. But this is a training circuit. It's great. Yeah, there's no gradient to it, but as an intensive non-stop circuit, it's great. Yeah.
In terms of safety, I mean, clearly I still get very concerned when I'm driving both in Lincoln and indeed in Middlesbrough, and I see folk of all ages, actually, from 7, 8 years old right the way through to sort of in their 80s, not wearing helmets. That's surely insane. It's good to see, obviously, safety equipment is there because people do fall off bikes.
They certainly do. You just missed a crash, actually, just before you arrived.
It wasn't the cause of it, was I? No.
No, I don't think we distracted them that much, but... yeah, it's around here, it's pretty safe. There are people that touch wheels and come off, and you tend to find it's cuts to knees and elbows, but certainly out on the road, yeah, I'm from an era of the 80s where people just wore a cycling cap and said that was enough, and that's plainly ridiculous these days.
It depends if you want brain damage or not, as the case may be. As we just saw the lap going through there, roughly for a 1 kilometre circuit, how many laps do they need to do for this particular circuit?
This race tonight will be around about 20 laps, something like that. There is another race after, which is more of elite level, which is almost double that. And then there's a mid-level race, which is sort of around about 30 laps.
There are those of us who obviously remember the line of not so much the velodrome, but the centre which just surpassed Albert Park, which of course has closed, part of the Clareville Stadium, of course, that was actually here. That was obviously indoors. In terms of spectators here, I mean, presumably you're looking to enhance the spectator sport. The Tour de France has actually worked wonders as far as that's concerned. Are you hopeful that obviously more people will be coming along to actually see the competing races and so on?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, when I'm, I can see the number of people cycling out on the roads. I don't think enough people are even aware that this either exists or even there's actual racing goes on. I think we're helping trying to spread the word, but hopefully, like especially like this podcast, will maybe get people interested.
And what are the processes of people actually listening to this and they think, ooh, Prizic Base, well, that looks as though it's a building site, and they've still got sort of things there. As you rightly said, the cycling facility has been open now for 2 years. How do people actually get involved? Do they just actually turn up with their gear?
Yeah, for down here, I think you just go via the Middlesbrough Council website and it'll show you the availability. But it's totally free to use for the public, so you just literally, providing it's not booked out, you just turn up and cycle.
So a bit like the old tennis used to be at Prizic Base, which is wonderful. Now, we've seen a few, I would say stragglers, because they might be leaders who are lapping the rest and so on. There's obviously a main group here. Just talk us through, for the benefit of the listener, in terms of how the race is actually going, and the people that we see either way out in front or way in behind, what's their particular role?
Yeah, that's been a strange lap, because that's what's called a Prem lap, so somebody's gone for a sprint to claim a cash prize, so that's why you saw the gaps that's just gone past us, and now the race will come back together again. But I think you'll find that the sort of back two guys there are struggling because of the conditions, because it's so windy. If you're cycling the group, it's quite easy. Once you leave the group, it's practically impossible.
Which, of course, really is one of the reasons why we hear in terms of Team Sky that there needs to be a supporting team to actually allow the likes of Wiggins or whomever to actually go on and take the lead, really.
It does. It's a bit sort of like your goal scorer in football and the sort of guy in midfield who doesn't really get recognised for, or maybe sets everything up. But that's pretty much, cycling's very much a
team sport for individuals.
That's exactly it, yeah, because it's there's a lot of thankless taskers on. People closing brakes down, and all you see is the finish line and the end result. You don't tend to see, a bit like a game of football, what goes on in the centre circle.
And what do you look for, Tony, in terms of when people are actually trying out for the team? In terms of, I mean, is it a case of movement, posture, energy, stamina, or before they even get on the bike, do you actually put them through various gym tests and so on?
Yeah, it's actually Adam Brooks. He's the performance coach. He's actually away in France on holiday at the moment, but he does what's called a watt bike test, and he gauges riders' levels, and then he can work out what heart zones they can work in and things like that. So I think Adam's going to be on a future show. He's your man. He's got all the sort of scientific numbers and does all that side of it for us.
And in terms of fitness levels in general, I mean, I've got to say, probably just half a lap would probably do for me. I mean, these guys have, in the time we've been talking, been going around for three or four times at present. You do have to have a reasonably high level of fitness, presumably, before you actually start competing.
You do at the race level. I would say, it's funny, because to race at the entry level, I would say if you can devote, say, 6 or 8 hours a week to cycling and you do the right sort of training, then you'll be fit enough to race. It's not a huge leap, but the leap from entry level into elite, that is a big step. It's sort of like League One to Premiership is the step.
We shall take it up, obviously, with some of the folk, which we'll try and pass our way. I noticed they've slowed down slightly now. Is that literally a case that they start off at one heck of a race now, and clearly because of the wind conditions, when they're cycling into the wind, of course, involves an awful lot more energy than if they were doing the equivalent of cycling with the wind at their backs?
It does, yeah. I think because of the wind, I think a few have maybe tried the turns on the front and none of them fancy being on the front, so that's why it's slowed so much.
Well, they're definitely sort of reduced now. I mean, I think in terms of the rate, they're almost at photographic rate, but the pose is good. Again, in terms of the lead, who's actually doing it? Is it still your man?
No, we've dropped back into the pack, and that's fine at this stage in the race. It's because there's a lot of individual riders, and at the entry level race, you see faces that you've never seen before, so you don't know what level they're at or ability. So far, so good for us.
Relating to schools and colleges, is there an interest from them in terms of people getting more involved with this, or are we still actually looking very much at people coming along from the private sector?
I'd like there to be, locally especially. I mean, Nick Berger, who's at Teesside University, he's helped us a lot, spread the word a lot, and get potential students interested in riding for us. But I'd like to see more going on at colleges, because that'd really help us.
We were speaking in podcast one, of course, to Ryan Pugh, who was our special guest. Ryan, of course, was a graduate. We never found out, what did he study? What did he actually study?
I'm showing my ignorance. I have a feeling it was business and economics, but I'm not absolutely certain on that.
We'll chase that up when he's around again. And again, they sort of slowed down the system. Is it looking sort of reasonably competent in terms of what you'd expect for a fairly blustery August evening?
When we did the summer series, I had visions of his sun being out and all sat with barbecues.
No sunscreen today, I have to say.
Every Thursday we come down here, and every Thursday it's showers and wind, it seems. But yeah, as the race is going, yeah, so far so good, and there's only six laps to go, I think.
And in terms of obviously the time of the year and various other factors related to that, as we proceed and head into autumn and so on, do you pretty much keep going as long as we're in British summertime? Once we actually switch into wintertime, do you then move indoors?
Yeah, it's a mixture of indoors and back on the watt bikes for the team, but there's a structured plan to this winter for the team, and that'll sort of kick in from September. Then they'll have a bit of downtime at sort of Christmas and New Year, then start things back up at sort of February time, really, for the season.
Well, I think that's fabulous. It's been a wonderful sort of co-commentator. How can people actually get involved with the system? Let's remind people once again of how folk can actually use Facebook, Twitter, Instagram and various other things to access things if they're going to this from southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com.
As regarding joining ourselves, you can just search for Manila Cycling on Facebook or via the website. If you want to get involved in cycling just as an individual, you can just go on the British Cycling site. You sign up for membership, buy a race licence, and turn up down here at 6 o'clock on a Thursday night, and off you go.
Listening to Tony McDonough, team manager, head of team, managing director. How would you define yourself with respect to Team Manila?
I think some of the lads might have another nickname for me, I think. But I would say I look after the commercial side. Adam Brooks looks after the coaching side. So he's team coach. I'm probably commercial manager is my title.
Which is absolutely essential. And, of course, chief pinner honour of race tips and all the rest of the bits and pieces and bibs and such like.
Yes, I've done two tonight without fatally wounding anybody, yes.